Hello everyone and welcome to another Sport and Lifestyle Biz here on UK Health Radio, your real feel-good radio. Well, today I'm bringing the intros and the edits from hospital. Managed to get myself a nice quiet place, so please bear with me for my voice and also the intros and the SLB Sports Roundup at the end. We appreciate you as always. This week, and I can't believe it's June already, we've got a blockbuster. Two returning guests. On a Batcher from Manchester United in Spain, all about Manchester United's season or the end of it, plus looking forward to the Euros with Spain. And Anna Hopkin, superstar Team GB swimmer, brought home the gold medal in Adam Peaty's mixed relay team last year, getting ready for three big competitions in the next 3 months. Go on, Anna. Throw in our SLB Sports Roundup and we hope you enjoy the show. We start this week with superstar footballer from Spain and player for Manchester United, it's Ona Batcher. Well everyone, this week I'm joined by a Manchester United and Spanish superstar, it's Ona Batcher. How are you, Ona?
Hi, how are you? So glad to be here with you.
Thank you very much. It's an absolute pleasure that you're joining us. Thank you for doing the interview. We have a lot of young girls that listen to the show and they all look up to you as a footballer. So thank you so much again.
No, it's a pleasure to be here with you today.
Thank you so much. So we'll go back right to the start. You've already achieved a lot at just the age of 22. But can you tell us how it started and when did you realise you had a love for football?
Well, when I was younger, I was always playing with my brother. So he was a football player.
Yeah.
And then I just said to my mom, "Mom, I want to be like my brother." So she just said to me, "Yeah, of course, like whatever you want." So then at 6 years old, I started to play football.
Wow. That's obviously very early. And it's not surprising about your brother. I've interviewed a few footballers, female footballers, and a lot of them actually did grow up playing with their brother. It got them interested in the game.
Yeah, of course, it's nice. And I really enjoy still now playing with my brother, always when we can. Yeah. We just keep playing. It's just funny. He's so good. He's quite good. So it's always competitive.
It's good competition.
Yes, and both we are competitive persons, so yeah. It's always nice. It's funny.
We will come back to this, but you can just tell from how you play. I've seen you live and I've also seen you on television how competitive you are. It really does come out in your game.
Yes, I really want to win every single thing, anything in the life and in the game, of course. All the people, I think, in the games, sometimes it's the same as a real life, you know what I mean?
Yeah, as I said, you're fantastic. When you were growing up and when you started to play, obviously your brother was an inspiration to you, but did you have any other inspirations, either in football or outside of football?
Well, when I was young, I liked Barca, so I used to go to Barca games, and I always liked Dani Alves.
Yep.
As a fullback. For me, it's the best.
Yep.
Fullback ever. So I was keep watching him doing or trying to do what he was doing. So he was my idol, we can say.
Yeah, lovely. And obviously you followed him into the position. Is that the reason that you chose to become a fullback or a defender? When I know from my experience with young girls, if you ask what they want to do, they pretty much all want to score goals. Is it the fact that Dani Alves, did he make you decide to become a defender?
Yes, I think I just wanted to, yeah, I just wanted to be, like it to be defender, but I like to be offensive defender.
Yep.
You know what I mean? I think he's one of the reasons that I'm a fullback.
Yeah, and you can attack, obviously, from that position. Do you see yourself as that being your final position? When I've seen you play, I can see you play perhaps higher up the pitch in midfield, or do you think you'll always stay as a defender?
Well, I like to be in the wide side. I could say. I would like to play as well as a winger, for example. Yeah. But I like to be fullback because I can defend, but I can attack as well.
Yeah, it gives you both options, doesn't it? As a fullback, you get the joy of stopping people scoring, but then you have the opportunity to go and create or even score yourself.
Of course, that's the most important thing as a fullback, as a defender, to defend, of course. But I think the present football, it's about, well, the fullbacks nowadays.
Yeah.
They are more offensive.
Yeah.
So I really like this kind of football now. So I really enjoy to attack as well.
Yeah, fantastic. You're right. Football used to be, if you're a defender, you defended. And now it's more how you can defend, but also how you can attack. So it suits you perfectly.
Exactly.
Brilliant. So we'll go back to, obviously, as you were getting started, and in the UK, you've probably already know and have realised that it's difficult sometimes for girls because there's not that many opportunities around. How was it in Spain? Was it quite easy for you to find a girls' team, or did you have to play with the boys?
Well, to be honest, when I was young, when I just started, I had to play with boys as well.
Yeah.
Because in my town, we didn't have female football, so I just had to play with boys. But I think that was kind of good for me because sometimes just play with boys gets you more aggressive,
yeah.
Or you have to be in the same level. We can say the boys.
Yeah, absolutely. You have to be at, obviously, their aggression level, but sometimes it drives you a bit more if they, for some reason, won't pass to you as a girl. So, yeah, it probably actually helps you at an early stage.
Yeah, but then, for example, I had few problems as well because I couldn't be, of course, in the same changing room. You know what I mean? I always had to be there. Yeah, but it was the first 4 years, I think. Then we get female group.
Right,
so,
okay.
When I was growing up, it was just everyone was at the same level as me. You know what I mean?
Okay, so obviously a couple of issues, obviously, with the changing and that, but pretty much it helped. Then in 2011, at just the age of 12, you signed for Barcelona Academy. I mean, what an achievement that was. How did you feel when you got accepted by them?
To be honest, it was like the dream to be part of Barcelona because, of course, as I said, I was always watching Barca games with my family as well. So I was like dreaming, yeah.
Yeah, of course. I mean, amazing. And obviously the Nou Camp is such a stadium as well. I've only been in the Nou Camp when it's been empty. I've done a tour of the Nou Camp with my children and it's just amazing, even when it's empty.
Yeah, it's so nice. It's so nice to be there.
Yeah. Fantastic. So you spent 3 years in their youth team and stayed with their main squad for another 3 years until 2017. So you had sort of 6 years with them. How was your experience there? And has it been this experience that has set you up for being such a good player at such a young age?
I think, well, as I am now, it's what I learned since I was young, you know what I mean? Like, when I was there, I just loved the play, how we played, how we teach you how to play, you know? So it was a fantastic moment because, of course, I was with my friends. I have still a lot of friends from Barcelona. Yeah, I think it was one of the best things that I could live.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's such a, well, it's a huge club, isn't it? It's a massive club. Obviously, great times. You got to spend 6 years there. But then you made the short move to the capital to play for Madrid. You made 28 appearances for them. How was life in Madrid? And although a lot of people who don't know make out the clubs are so different, were the cultures inside the club, were they similar or were they actually quite different?
It was quite different because, for example, I went to Madrid playing everything with Barça B, we say, like in the young team. And of course, we were winning everything. It was such a change because in Madrid, it was my first league team. It was my first year in Liga Iberdrola.
Yes.
In the first league. So it was different because that year, for example, I didn't win everything. So it was like restarted, a different philosophy, of course, because it was not always with the ball as in Barca we wanted to play. So it was just different things and I've learned a lot about that as well.
Yeah, so obviously it grew you as a player as well, as you've said. But then in 2018, you moved to another part of Spain and you signed for Levante. Was that a reason to get more game time, or was it because you thought you would improve more as of a player?
Well, Levante came with a really good project, with really good people going to Levante. Yeah. We wanted to do a big step with Levante. So I just thought it was the right moment to move to a bigger club.
Yeah.
To grow up as a player, of course. It was a really good chance to play with persons like Ruth Garcia, Mata Corredera, you know,
yeah.
Sonia Bermudez at that moment.
So it was a fantastic time, and it obviously worked. You're a defender, but you made 39 appearances in 2 years, and you scored 3 goals. Obviously, keeping a clean sheet is your highest importance, as you've already said. Being a defender, you have to defend. But what's it like to score a goal?
As I said, I really enjoy when I'm attacking. I had the pleasure. I was with a really good team, so I just wanted to enjoy that part of attacking. So I just enjoy it, and it was so nice to help the team scoring, of course.
Yeah, fantastic. So we'll move on to 2020 now. After your time at Levante, you moved to Manchester United. I'm guessing an opportunity like that couldn't be turned down. How have you found the pressures for playing for Manchester United, as you'd already dealt with that for playing for the two biggest clubs in Spain?
Well, it was a really different challenge to come to Manchester United. Of course, as you said, the pressure, like how big is this club?
Yeah.
You can feel it just when you already come here. But I don't really feel the pressure. I just feel it's a pleasure to play in such a club like Manchester United.
Yeah, and if I could just say, it does show, because you settled, or it looks like you settled in so quickly and so well. If there was any added pressure, you certainly didn't show it. You've been amazing from day one that you've joined.
Thank you. But to be honest, last year was a little bit hard to live in UK just because of COVID. I always say it was one of the harder year in my life just because of COVID.
Yeah.
It was hard. No one could come to see me, you know, and I couldn't go to Spain as well because of the flies of COVID and all this stuff. So it was quite hard mentally, we could say.
Absolutely. And that brings me on to the question of COVID. People think because you're a footballer that you get everything given to you and you don't suffer like everybody else. But obviously you do. You know, there was a point where you weren't playing matches. Then you weren't training as a team. You had to do training on your own or at home. And as you've just said, you were away from your family and your friends and you couldn't go and see them and they couldn't see you. Was that a particularly hard time for you?
Yeah, as I said, it was one of the hardest moments in my life. But I think I really learned about it. I really try to enjoy everything now. I try to just, live the life if I can. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You've taken that and now put it into your future and your present, that you do have to enjoy life to a certain extent. You have to make the most of every day.
Exactly. That's what I would say.
Yeah, perfect. So staying with COVID, obviously, training was slightly less because you had to do it yourself. Did you have to change your diet at all or do anything special at home to keep yourself physically fit?
Sure. I just had to do everything, like trying to do always a routine day by day, even if I was at home. Just doing breakfast, dinner, lunch, everything, and sleeping good as well. I just tried to do everything as I was training, as a normal life.
Yeah, as you said, you know, you obviously had to do your own things. You had to do little things slightly differently. Perhaps the one low point since you've been at Manchester United was the second half of last season, which obviously was affected by COVID. You were top at Christmas of the league. You'd been absolutely outstanding as a team. You'd been outstanding yourself. Sadly, you slipped to fourth place and just missed out on the Champions League. You were hit very hard by injury to key players. Do you think that was the main reason?
Well, it was one of the reasons, but I think we were a little bit unlucky of everything. So, but there will be sequels and we just, like, we have to try to just move on. So I think we should do that, but unfortunately we couldn't do it. So hopefully this year we will get it.
Yeah, and that would be good. You come across and you play like you're a strong person, so it seems like you're the sort of person that would take that negative and turn it into a positive as motivation for this season.
Sure. But everyone is just now so focused on every game, and yeah, every game is like a final, so we are really positive and we are really as well enjoying what we're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. And this season's actually been pretty good. You know, I would even go as far as saying you have been unlucky in a few matches as well this season. Earlier on in the season, there were some games you could have quite easily won, and either perhaps a small mistake or even, as I said, bad luck cost you. But you've now got some momentum going. You've gone into third. Do you see the top three as a real possibility for you?
Yeah, sure. We are just focused on if we do what we have to do and we win every game, we will be in the top three. So we just have to keep pushing every day and keep focusing that.
Yeah, and can quite see it as well. As I said, you're all playing well, and it might well come down to that last game of the season at Chelsea.
Well, we know it's going to be the hardest game that we have, but we still believe in win every game. Even if it's Chelsea, we can beat, I think, any team. So I think we're still there.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. I think you're playing so well at the moment and you've got good momentum and all your good players are pretty much playing well. So that's fantastic to see. And obviously, good luck. And I wish you all the best, obviously, for that.
Thank you.
You've also managed to get yourself a goal for Manchester United. And it was a lovely goal as well. Talk us through your goal.
I know. It was really nice. I really enjoyed it as well. It was a perfect moment because just that game, my friends were here. So it was like, say to them, like, yeah, that was for them, you know.
Yeah.
It was a really nice weekend. And I really enjoyed that goal.
Brilliant. It was great to see the goal. It was a nice goal as well, which is even better. We've touched on pretty much everything domestically, but internationally, you've also done really well. You've been capped at every level from under 17 for Spain. 55 caps in all ages, all the way through to the national team. What was it like? How proud were you when you got your first call up and you put on the national kit for the first time?
Well, I think every player wants to play for your national team, so it was a pleasure, and it's still, when I'm called from Spain, it's always pleasure, and I just feel as it was the first one.
Yeah, fantastic. Absolutely lovely to hear. And you've also had success playing for them. You know, Spain are a very, very good side. You won the UEFA Women's Cup tournament at under 17 and under 19. You finished third in the under 17 Women's World Cup and runners up in the under 21 World Cup. I mean, that must fill you with immense pride, the fact you've done so well for Spain as well.
Of course. And I think I really enjoyed that group as well because I have we are really friends with a lot of people there, and it was a fantastic group and a fantastic players that now, for example, some of them are the best of the world, we could say. So I think I really enjoyed when I was in the young teams, and of course I'm enjoying so much when I'm in the national team. I'm trying to learn about everything and about every single person who is around me.
Yeah, fantastic. And just sneak in a quick question. Do you think you have a really good chance in the Euros this year?
Well, we're going to try our best. I think we are doing good so far. So I think we just want to keep doing our game, keep doing our play, and we will go for everything. We want to win every single... We have that mentality. We want to win everything,
Brilliant. I think you've got a great chance, to be honest with you. I think you're an outstanding side and it'd be great to see you do well. So a couple of things, Anna, just before you leave us today. With such great achievements so far, playing for the best teams in the world domestically and one of the best national teams in the world, where do you see yourself and what dreams do you have for the future?
Well, just one really person who is always looking on now, and I want to keep proving myself. Of course, I want to play champions, for example, win trophies. But I think the more important thing is just work day by day and just keep improving about everything.
Yeah, fantastic. As you said, keep improving yourself and just shoot for the stars, win as much as you can.
Of course. Yeah. Of course. As I said at the beginning, I'm a really competitive person and yeah. I want to win everything.
Fantastic. That's all we can really ask for, you know, as people ourselves, to push ourselves every day.
Of course.
Brilliant. And finally, before you do actually leave us, please could you give some advice and experience for all the young girls that are listening and aspirations they need to become a professional and perhaps anything they need to be wary of at an early age to make it to the elite level?
Well, I think to be a professional footballer, you have to take care of a lot of things, not just play football. For example, you have to recover, you have to eat good, you have to sleep well. So it's a little details that you can take care of that. And I think with everything, and then of course working hard, you will get what you want.
Fantastic. Thank you for that. And you're right, it is important that you do the right things even from an early age.
Yeah, of course. Like, the most important thing when you are young is enjoy. But yeah, if you want to be a football player, you just have to keep doing, keep improving. And the most important thing, I think, is believe on yourself.
Yeah, believe, believe, believe. Fantastic. Great advice. I'm sad to say, for the interview, we've come to the end of today. It's been an absolute pleasure. I want to thank you so much and just want to say all the best for you, for Manchester United and for Spain in the summer at the Euros.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you, Anna. What an amazing interview. And then, after some short adverts, we've got Team GB superstar Anna Hopkin.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
It used to be hard to find the world's most wonderful alcohol-free drinks. Not anymore. Whether it's a health thing, a lifestyle thing, or you're trying new things, make sure you save yourself from the guessing game of the supermarket shelves and shop with zerozilchzip.co.uk for the world's most carefully curated range of alcohol-free beers, wines, spirits, and more. Health Radio listeners can save 5% with the code HEALTH5. Visit zerozilchzip.co.uk or click our banner on the UK Health Radio website. Discover alcohol freedom with Zero Zilch Zip. Because nothing's better.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're back with the interview that you've all wanted and requested. It's Olympic gold medal winning swimmer, Anna Hopkin. Hi, Anna, how are you?
Hi, I'm good, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Oh, no problem at all. It's an absolute pleasure and it was very high in the ratings, your previous interview, and requests at your back. So thank you very much as well for giving your time.
Oh, no worries.
It is a very busy year for you, which we'll come on to. And today we're going to do a short interview about how it's been for you so far in 2022, the championships that you're going for, because there's an extra one in, I think, because of COVID, and just how general things are going. And we'll catch up with you throughout the year. Yeah, we'll start off winter training, a big year. If you could just tell us how your winter training went, the swim leagues that you're in, and also the actual championships you've got coming along.
Yeah, it's been quite a weird start to the year, I guess, with obviously post-Olympics and kind of not having much of a break and then going straight into the International Swimming League. So a lot of like September to December was just a lot of racing in that league, and then sort of trying to also get a bit of time off and space to see friends and family after Olympics and things. And then kind of as soon as we got into 2022, it was getting back to work properly, and we've had some really good blocks of training, and it's been really, really hard, but sort of good to get back into fitness and getting ready for the summer, and got a load of competitions coming up. So we had a camp in Miami for 3 weeks, so that was really nice to get out the country and get some sun, which obviously not been able to do so much since COVID, so that's been good. But yeah, we're sort of aiming for start of April is trials, and then that's obviously qualification for all the major meets in the summer.
Yeah, that's fab. We'll come on to the meets in the summer, as we've said, but just a couple of things to pick up on what you've said. your camps, you said you've gone and spent 3 weeks in Miami, and you will get the odd people who will think, oh, crikey, that's lovely. I'd love 3 weeks in Miami, but it's nowhere near a doddle, is it? It's pure hard work and getting ready for this year.
Yeah, it was really hard work. And obviously, we're very lucky to go places like that. And, you know, getting to train outside is something we don't get to do in the UK. But I think because it is so hard, having the added benefit of the sun and being outside just makes it a little bit more bearable. So I think that's kind of the main motivation for getting us out there. And it sort of separates that block of training from your general day-to-day training, which I guess makes it a better environment to train hard in.
I totally agree from the sporting side that actually getting away from your normal sort of regime that you do, it actually probably makes you focus more as well, because you're there for a specific reason.
Yeah, and it can get quite monotonous being in the same place, doing the same thing every day, which I think we did find a little bit last year due to COVID. And so I think it's quite important that my coach really wanted to get us out and get into a different environment and just kind of separate that block and really focus on that. And then obviously you kind of, when you do get back home again, you feel a bit refreshed and ready to go again.
Yeah, and obviously people who understand sport and understand swimming know it's one of the hardest sports actually on the body. People do say when you go swimming you find muscles you never knew you had, even if you like you're pretty fit. So I for one know that it's not. It's just, you get people in all sports, we speak to Holly Doyle and people say, oh, you just turn up at the races, which is obviously not the case, and the footballers as well. So I just wanted to make the point that it's nowhere near going out to Miami because it's that. I think what you said, if it's clear and it's warmer, it makes you feel better as well. But also it's that getting away, isn't it? You know, it makes you go for a purpose.
Yeah, and it's just a bit of a change mentally as well. Yeah. Just switching things up definitely helps, and just finding new challenges. Obviously, training outside is quite different and just quite refreshing, really.
Brilliant. And you mentioned the swim leagues. Tell us about that just briefly. It's like a fantasy league, isn't it?
Yeah, so you've got 10 teams based all over the world and just made up of some of the best swimmers in the world, and you're all just racing each other trying to score points for your team. So it's a very exciting thing to be a part of, and it was actually really nice post Olympics to kind of do that. It was quite low pressure to start with and just good to get back into racing and obviously travel as well a little bit. And so it's just a good experience to race some of the best in the world quite regularly, which we don't always get so often.
No, and two things I pick up from that. Obviously, it's a huge testament to your ability that you're actually selected, you know. People who follow cricket, it's a bit like the IPL, isn't it? And the 100, where you're actually selected out of people to actually go and join. So that's massive for you, and congratulations to you on that. But it is the sort of thing that British sport in the past has missed out on, that constant test against the best in the world.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I guess we have mainly domestic competitions until our British Champs, which is obviously a domestic competition where they select the team for the major summer meet, and then it's only at that point that you then start to travel to a few meets to compete against people internationally. But when it comes to the major competition, there's a lot of people you've never actually raced, so it is really good to get that experience. And I think also we got a lot of that last year with Europeans and Olympics and then going straight into ISL. So it feels like we have got a lot of race practice, which has been good.
Brilliant. And obviously it sets the bar higher, doesn't it? If that makes sense. And that's no disrespect to the British swimmers, but obviously no country is really mopping up in every discipline. So the fact that, as we said, you are competing against the best of the best, it raises your bar as well.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, like, if you're only racing domestically, often you don't have to go very fast in the heats to make finals. And obviously, if you come to like an Olympics, you need to go fast every single round. So being at a higher level, it just challenges you to swim as fast as you can in every single round. And that's obviously ultimately what you're going to have to do at the major competition. Something like the ISL, where there's no heats, it's just all out all the time, kind of prepares you for that.
Yeah, and that's a great point you pick up, actually. It's not the fact that you cannot compete with the best generally, unless you're at a level that you are. It's the fact is you have to use more of your reserves up to actually qualify for the finals, so your body's more sort of worn, isn't it? Worn out.
Yeah, definitely. So you have to kind of practice that a lot. Yeah. And I think that's potentially something that the British swimmers have found, and I've found in the past few years, is like you get to a major competition where you're suddenly expected to do relays and heat semis and finals, and it's actually a lot on your body that you've never actually practiced before. So I think that's something as a whole, British swimming have done a lot better at is preparing us for that.
Brilliant. Well, thank you for that. As I said, we're going to continue to interview you as you've got time throughout the year, as you go along in your tournaments. You said you've got three majors this year. If you could just tell us what they are and where they are, so people can sort of note down when to look out for you.
Yeah, so we've got the World Championships. They start on the 18th of June in Budapest. That was added quite recently, so that's kind of something we didn't quite expect, but obviously we've now adjusted to and everything.
Yeah.
But then 3 weeks after that, we've got obviously the Commonwealth in Birmingham, which is going to be exciting, having a home game.
Yeah.
So obviously that's kind of a bit of a balancing act in terms of being prepared for Worlds and then also bouncing back and being ready for Commonwealth as well. But then we also have Europeans, which are mid-August, I think, and they're in Rome. And so that's going to be quite a challenge to do all three.
Yeah.
And I don't quite know what kind of shape I'll be in by Europeans. I mean, I've never done three major competitions back-to-back before, but it's good training, I guess, and good preparation for the future. So, but it'll be nice to do a lot of racing with, against a lot of different people.
And also that constant racing in the swimming league, the ISL, as you call it, do you think that constant racing against the better swimmers in the world will actually help your body hold up for those three big championships pretty much within 2 months? Even though it's June, July and August, the middle of June to the middle of August is only 2 months.
Yeah, I think it will, because we had 5 weeks in Naples where we were pretty much racing every week, and then 3 weeks in Eindhoven where we raced every week. So that's quite hard on the body, and obviously you've got to keep bouncing back from every single race that you do. So that's going to hopefully prepare us well for the summer. And I guess it's not totally similar, but we had like the Europeans and then we bounced back into a competition we did in Glasgow. And then after that, we obviously had the Olympics. So we've had periods where we've had a lot of racing,
right,
but this will definitely be the most extreme.
Yeah, absolutely. And mixed relays, are they continued through these competitions or is it just for the Olympics?
No, they're for all of them. So
wonderful.
They've added them into Commonwealth this year. This is the first time they're in the Commonwealth. And then, yeah, they're in Worlds and Europeans as well. So I think that will be the mixed medley and the mixed freestyle. So there's a lot of relays. So it could be a lot of racing for me.
And obviously in the world, you'll have the Americans. If I remember rightly, and please correct me if I'm wrong, because this is totally from memory, when you won your gold, was it the Russian team that you beat?
I think the Americans was the more controversial one because they could have put in a different team and potentially been more competitive.
Yes.
I think that was kind of the surprise that they weren't as competitive to us as we thought they were going to be.
Yeah, Russia, they come second. But have you heard anything about Russia? Are they banned?
So I think there's a bit of disparity between some of the competitions.
Right.
I know at the minute not able to compete at Europeans, but I think for Worlds, potentially they're able to compete under like a neutral flag or something. So
right.
I don't know if that will change or what's going to happen with that, but I think that's currently what they've decided to do. But
almost
I'm
like
not
the,
totally sure.
Sorry, almost like the IOC team that
have
been proven they've never taken drugs. They compete, don't they? Okay, that's probably fair if they're not a supporter of what's going on. It's far above my jurisdiction. I just wonder if you'd heard. And two things before we let you go, because I know you've gone out of your way to give your time up today. The first thing you mentioned was qualifiers. Do you still have to qualify from scratch, or does your time last for a year? So say like the time you put in last year, can you use that, or do you literally start from 0.00 again and you've got to go and qualify for these?
Usually it is just a blank slate and everyone has to re-qualify every year. This year they've actually pre-qualified. I think maybe it's post-Olympics, the year post-Olympics. Sometimes they do pre-qualifications because they know that some people take longer breaks after Olympics and by trials you might not be 100% or whatever. But I've qualified for Commonwealth already.
Perfect.
And I think qualified for Worlds as a relay swimmer, but I need to qualify as an individual.
Okay.
So do still need to qualify if I want to swim my individual events.
And you think you're going to put yourself through the individual and the relays? At least say like the first two. Are you sort of going to play it by ear?
I'm hoping that I'll be able to do both my individuals as well as the relays. Obviously, at Olympics, there was kind of clashes with where my individuals sat with the relays, which meant I couldn't do the 50. I think the schedule is slightly different for Worlds, so I'm hoping I'll get the potential to do all of them. But obviously, that depends as well as where everything sits. I don't know if they change things.
And you'll be chasing gold, so I imagine, at all of them.
Yeah, I mean, I may as well set the bar quite high, I guess. You know, I'd like to win an individual medal this summer, so hopefully see how it goes, really.
And you've obviously got the taste for it after your amazing gold and bringing the team home. Does that give you extra confidence for when you revert back to your solo discipline?
Yeah, definitely. I think having won that medal at my first Olympics, it kind of takes the pressure off a little bit. And I don't just want to be a relay swimmer. I do want to do well individually as well. So it just gives me confidence to know that those times are there and I can get back to them at some point. So hopefully that'll be this summer.
Fantastic. And just before you go, Anna, I just want to say, obviously, you've told us the three big championships you're in this year, which is an amazing schedule for you to keep up with. You've got the World Championships at Budapest, followed by the Commonwealths in Birmingham, and then finishing off with the Euros in August in Rome. Is it going to be more special, and are you looking forward to actually swimming in front of a home crowd?
Yeah, definitely. Especially after last year when family and friends couldn't travel to Europeans or Olympics to watch me. So hopefully a lot of my friends and definitely my family will be able to get tickets to watch me swim in Birmingham. And I think it's not very often we get the opportunity to race in front of a home crowd, and don't think there's any more coming up in the next few years where there'll be a home game. So yeah, it's quite a special one.
Oh, fabulous. Well, Anna, it's always a pleasure, and I just want to say thank you. I know you've been hard at it, and when you're not, you're catching up with your family and friends. So we appreciate all the time you give us. Good luck, and the best of health and the best of fortune with the swimming and yourself, and perhaps we can catch up in the next 4 to 6 weeks, see how you're going and getting ready for those championships.
Yeah, sounds good. Thank you. And thanks for having me.
Thanks so much, Anna. Thank you, Anna. That was absolutely amazing. We cannot wait to follow you through your championships throughout the summer, especially the Commonwealth Games at Birmingham here in England. And now, after some short adverts, it's our SLB Sports Roundup.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
It used to be hard to find the world's most wonderful alcohol-free drinks. Not anymore. Whether it's a health thing, a lifestyle thing, or you're trying new things, make sure you save yourself from the guessing game of the supermarket shelves and shop with ZeroZilchZip.co.uk for the world's most carefully curated range of alcohol-free beers, wines, spirits, and more. Health Radio listeners can save 5% with the code HEALTH5. Visit ZeroZilchZip.co.uk or click our banner on the UK Health Radio website. Discover alcohol freedom with Zero Zilch Zip, because nothing's better.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
This is our SLB Sports Roundup, featuring golf, horse racing, darts, cricket, tennis, motorsport, NBA and football. We start with golf. The PGA Tour held the Charles Schwab Challenge from Colonial Golf Course in Fort Worth, Texas, and it was won after a playoff by Sam Burns, who put in a great performance the week before in the Masters. He finished on -9, defeating Scottie Scheffler, the world number one, who missed the cut at the Masters on the first playoff hole. Third place, one shot back on -8, was Brendan Todd. This week, they're off to the Memorial Tournament from Muirfield Village in Ohio. The European Tour hosted the KLM Open from the Bernardus Golf Course in Netherlands. Again, it was won on a playoff, this time by Victor Perez, who tied on 13 under par with Ryan Fox, going to the fourth playoff hole. One shot back in third was Adrian Maronk. This week, they host the European Open from the Green Eagle Golf Courses, featuring the Porsche Nord Course in Hamburg. The ladies are back with the US Open from the Pine Needles Lodge and Golf Course in North Carolina. Look out for Jin-Yun Ko, Lydia Ko and Lexi Thompson. Horse racing, and this weekend is the Derby and the Oaks, the third and fourth three-year-old classics of the season. In the Derby, we like Desert Crown from Michael Stout's yard, or Stone Age from Aidan O'Brien, ridden by Ryan Moore. The Oaks, Emily Upjohn is a worthy favourite, trained by John Gosden and ridden by Frankie Dettori. But look out for our own Holly Doyle on Nashua. They have a fantastic chance. Over in France, the Prix du Jockey Club, we think will be won by Modern Games. Ridden by Willem Buick for Charlie Appleby. On to darts. And in the Premier League, it was Knight 16 from Newcastle, the last of the qualifying rounds before finals night. The finals night has been decided. Number 1 seed Johnny Clayton plays number 4 seed Joe Cullen. Michael Van Gogh in the number two seed plays James Wade. In the semi-finals, the winners through to the final to decide the Premier League champion on June the 13th in Berlin. Cricket, England have appointed a new manager and director of cricket, Brendan McCullum, the exciting opening batsman from New Zealand. He'll pair up with New Zealand-born Ben Stokes, England's best player. It should be fast and exciting. Both love to play the game at a high tempo, and England will probably leave nothing wanting. Looks like recalls for Jimmy Anderson and Stuart Broad, Joss Butler and Moeen Ali, and even potentially Adil Rashid. On to tennis. It's the second major of the season, the French Open from Roland Garros. The men's, it looks like Novak versus Rafa. They're both playing their way through the tournament. And in the women's, it's all about Iga Swiatek. Motorsport. We start on two wheels of MotoGP. Last weekend saw the Gran Premio d'Italia from the Mugello circuit. And it was won by hometown boy Francesco Bagnaia for the Ducati Lenovo team. Second place, current world champion Fabio Quartararo for the Monster Energy Yamaha. Third place, Alexei Espargaro for Aprilia. Leaves the standings as follows. Fabio Quartararo still out in front for Monster Energy Yamaha team, 122 points. 8 in front of Alexei Espargaro on 114. He rides for Aprilia. And third place, Enea Bastianini for the Gresini Racing Ducati, 94. This week they're back again for the Gran Premio de Catalunya in Spain at the Circuit de Barcelona, Catalunya. British Superbikes are back on the 17th of June with round 4 and races 10, 11 and 12 from Knockhill using the full circuit. The standings are led by Bradley Ray for the OMG Racing Yamaha team on 158, a full 25 points clear of Jason O'Halloran, who played himself back into the reckonings for McCams Yamaha. He's on 130. Lee Jackson, FS3 Racing Kawasaki, is third on 125 points. World Superbikes are back on the 10th of June with round 4. From Imola with the Emilia Romagna round, Alvaro Bautista for Ducati leads the standings on 161, 17 clear of Jonathan Rea for Kawasaki. Third place Toprak, Rakszak Lioglu, the current champion, way back on 109. Beware Grand Prix had round 3 from the Marketa Stadium in Czech Republic with the Czech Grand Prix. It was won by Martin Vakulik, a great turnaround of form for the rider. He won from England's Ty Woffenden and third place Jason Doyle. It was another semi-final failure for Bartosz Smarzlik and Magic Janowski. But Bartosz still leads the standings on 44 points. 1 point clear of Magic on 43, with Leon Madsen in third place on 40. They're back in next week on June the 4th, round 4 from Telerow in Germany. On to four wheels, and NASCAR held the Coca-Cola 600 from Charlotte Motor Speedway. And it was won by Denny Hamlin, driving a Toyota Camry for Joe Gibbs Racing. He gained 42 points. Second place, his Joe Gibbs Racing teammate, Kyle Busch, scoring 35 points. Third place, Kevin Harvick, driving a Ford Mustang for Stuart Haas, 38 points. The standings see Chase Elliott out in front, driving a Chevy Camaro for Hendrick Motorsport on 489. Second place, Ross Chastain on 455, also driving a Chevy Camaro for Hendrick Motorsport. Third place, Kyle Busch, Toyota Camry for Joe Gibbs, on 452. On to IndyCar, and it's the biggest race of the season. Some say the biggest motor race in the world. The Indianapolis 500 from the Brickyard. It was won by Super Swede ex-Formula 1 racer Marcus Ericsson for Chip Ganassi Honda. Second place, Pato O'Ward for Aris McLaren in the Chevrolet engine. Third place, Tony Kanaan for Chip Ganassi, also a Honda engine. It looked a bit, well, it was going to be nice straightforward for the last 10 laps for Marcus Ericsson. But with 5 laps to go, there was a crash, a red flag, and they had to restart, but Marcus Ericsson fought off Pato O'Ward's last lap's attempt to overtake him to drink the milk in victory lane. The standings also see Marcus Ericsson now out in front with the double points from that victory on 226. Pato O'Ward is second on 213, 1 point in front of Alex Palou, Chip Ganassi Racing, 212. Formula E are back on the 12th of June with the Indonesian E-Prix from Jakarta. Stoffel van Dorn leads the standings for Mercedes EQ on 111. Second place, Eduardo Mortara for Rokit Venturi Racing on 99. Third place, Jon-Erik Vern, the DS Chitita team on 95. Formula One held a duel in their crown as well this weekend with the Monaco Grand Prix. It was won by Red Bull number 2 driver Sergio Perez, claiming 25 points. Second place, Carlos Sainz, the Ferrari number 2 driver on 18 points. Third place, Max Verstappen, Red Bull, 15 points. Charles Leclerc gained pole position, looked like he was going to win the race. But a couple of safety cars and also a horrible pitch decision by Ferrari saw him back in fourth. Max Verstappen leads the standings on 125 points, 9 clear of Charles Leclerc, and 6 further back is Sergio Perez in third for Red Bull. Red Bull lead the standings on 235 points, Ferrari are second on 199, Mercedes are third on 134. The next Grand Prix is on June the 12th from Baku with the Azerbaijan Grand Prix. On to NBA, and we now have the NBA finalists. Whereas the West was quite comfortable, we picked it up from last week with Golden State Warriors 3-0 up against the Dallas Mavericks. Dallas got one on the board, winning 119-109. But Golden State Warriors put that to bed easily at home, 120-110. Steph Curry makes another final. Golden State Warriors are West Conference champions. The East wasn't quite as simple. We pick it up at 2-2. Miami held the fifth leg at home and lost to Boston 93-80. So Boston had the chance to win it in six at home, but Miami went to Boston and won, 111-103. Meaning Miami were favourites going into leg seven at home. But Boston turned it round with a brilliant first half and then holding on at the end to win 100-96. So it's Golden State Warriors and Steph Curry versus Boston Celtics and Jason Tatum. Absolutely brilliant from Boston. We finish with football and the result of the UEFA Champions League. The game was dominated by Liverpool, but Real Madrid scored the only goal of the game with Vinicius Jr. sealing off a great move to bring home another Champions League trophy for Real Madrid. So domestically in England, the champions are Manchester City and the FA Cup and Carabao Cup winners were Liverpool. We're now into transfer season and we'll bring you news of all the transfers throughout June. That's our SLB Sports Roundup. Well, everybody, that's the end of another great show. First of all, please excuse my voice at this part of the radio, but I hope you enjoyed the show again. Two brilliant female professionals at the top of their games, Ona Bacha from Manchester United and Anna Hopkin from Team GB. I want to say thank you to those two amazing ladies. Thank you to you, the listeners. We couldn't do it without you, and we appreciate your listening. And thank you also to Johan and Rafaela, plus the whole team at UK Health Radio, the fantastic platform they give us. So that's it. We're signing out, and we'll see you next week. Sonic man out of you. Stop me now. I'm having such a good time. I'm having a ball.